See, this walk with God, it has to be a spirit-led walk. Because without the Spirit, we won't walk with God. You know, to give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, so that you may know him better. To know him better, to gain the true knowledge of God. You cannot know God if you're not searching for God. We must seek the Lord. It's the Spirit who opens your heart to the revelation that you can really understand God. It's the Spirit who drew you into the church in the first place and have kept you here, because he reveals things in his word as it's taught to you and it sits well with you. It's the Spirit that receives the word of God. You know, because without the Spirit, you won't be able to sit here in church and for an hour or two or three. No one can come to the Father except through the Spirit, except the Spirit draws him in, the Bible says. That he may give you the spirit of wisdom. See, wisdom. I want to go now to the book of Romans, Romans 10. I'm going to sort of float around these two scriptures. Romans 10, verse 1 says, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. He says, for I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Here Paul prayed, in Ephesus he prayed for the Israelites. Now Paul, I believe Paul was a Roman, and he's saying that the Israelites, which are Jews, that they may be saved. Why is that a concern? Why did I bring that up? It's because the Jews don't believe in Jesus, even today. They believe in the first five books of the Bible, and that's what they live on. It's called, I believe it's called the Quran, right? The first five books, the Quran. That's their book, and that's what they live on. So he's saying right here, I pray for the Israelites that they may be saved. And he says, Paul is praying for the people to be saved because everybody needs Jesus, right? Everybody needs Jesus. A lot of unbelievers say and act like they don't need Jesus, but I'll bet if we ask them or ask their wives or their children if they need Jesus, it would be different. Some will say they love God in their own way, but how is that? Living how they want to live? Do what they want to do? To get by, act how they want to act, even if it hurts others, but hey, they're still in control. People will say, I live for God in my own way. Maybe you've heard people say, yeah, it's just me and God. Yeah, right. You're a demon. You know, without church, without the Spirit, you don't have God. If you're not becoming Christ-like, you're missing the mark, and your coming to church is useless. If you aren't doing as the Bible says to do, you're disobeying God. You show a zeal for church and God, but little knowledge. I'm talking about wisdom. Wisdom, what to know him better, it said. And this in this verse, he says, based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness of God, you do not know how to be right with God, and so you do it your own way. That's what Paul is saying, that these people were, they were living, they sought their own way to be right with God because they didn't want to submit the way the Bible said to be right with God. Their hearts were in the right place, but their heads were ruling. our hearts could be in the right place that I love God and I want to do for God and stuff, but our minds, our heads turn us to do the wrong things. Choose to do what I got to do to make this work instead of relying on God and letting God handle things, you know. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, me and Maria, we like to say is that we couldn't do no better than the way God's done it. I mean, me and Maria were so opposite of each other. We would not have lasted with each other in the world just by the grace of God, somebody. But that was God's plan, was to take two opposites and make one. You know, her strengths are not mine and my strengths are not hers. Amen. People who do their own thing, they say, I'll come to church, but I'm not going to do what they say to do. I'll go to church, but I'm going to control my house. And that won't be godly. It'll be just what best fits. And that's the way of the world. That's the way of the world. Handling things at home the way best fits. Instead of correcting, you just guide over things in the house or your kids. I'm speaking of, people get offended when we give the right way to do it, the biblical way to handle things. And people get offended and walk away. That's them choosing to be right with God in their own way. You know, they want to control the situation. See, if things don't seem to be changing, it's because you don't want them to change. See, being zealous for God through knowledge is living for God, obeying God, believing in God, and His provision for our lives. Living, obeying, believing, and trusting. If you're doing all four of those with all your heart, your life will change. Your life will change. It will look different than what it was before. My life has completely changed in a radical way because I live for God, I obey God, I believe in God, and I trust in God. My life is a whole different thing than what it used to be. And yours will be too if you do that. You will be loving, joyful, kind, and friendly, strong, confident, and I mean in a godly way. You will be prospering. Your life will show that you got the favor of God on it. Your desires will change. Your personality will change. Your friends will change. Your kids will change. But if things aren't changing, it's because you're not submitting to God's righteousness. They have not submitted themselves, confident in their own righteousness. They have not yielded their hearts to a plan which requires them to come confessing. They have not yielded their hearts to a plan which requires them to come confessing that they have no merit and to be saved by the merit of another. No obstacle to salvation by grace is so great as the self-righteousness of the sinner. Get that? Let me explain that. Let me break that down. You don't submit to the ways of God because you think you're self-righteous. Because you think you're do good. You know, I don't need to submit to all that way because I got this. That's the way a sinner thinks. And that's saying that they don't change their ways because they believe they're all right. The Israelites, the Romans, thought they were all right. They were the biggest empire during that time, and they thought they were all right. And Paul's telling them that you got to do it God's way. You know, you have to have the knowledge. Remember the prayer. Let me go back to the prayer. For I testify about them that they're zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own way. They did not submit to God's righteousness. This will kill your walk with God, not submitting to the way He wants you to be right with Him. You are not submitting to the way God wants you to be right with Him. You can come to church all you want, but if you're not trying to be right with Him, there's nothing going to change. And I'm not talking about being a nice person and saying amen, somebody. I'm talking about disciplining yourself, praying to God, reading your Bible, loving your spouse, discipling your children, shining your light, and spreading the good news. The Romans focused on the law being the source of salvation rather than on the gospel. The Romans focused on the law being the source of salvation rather than the gospel, rather than believing in Jesus. They were focused on honor your mother and father. You know, do not kill. Worship no other idols. You know, they were the Ten Commandments, the law. You know, they were focused on that being their way to being right. And when you do that, you can fake the funk. I'm a good person. No, I don't hurt nobody. But being right with God is believing that Jesus came down, was crucified, and God rose up from the dead. And that's how you're right with God. I believe in that. That's it. That's it. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And if we live like that, you will be right with him. He will see you as righteous. The world says, do good and you are good. By faith, I believe God said I'm righteous, so I stand righteous, you know? So I do righteous. I do right stuff. Knowing the way is not enough. There has to be a radical submission to the righteousness of God, putting away our own righteousness, our own thoughts that we are right with him. We have to put that away. That will freeze us in our walk with God, thinking we are right with him. I'm all right. I'm doing good. Oh, I don't need to go to church today. I'm doing really good right now. You know, that's the devil. That's the devil's deception, man. One of his key strategies is deception, to make you think you don't need church. You know, right now, you know, I take this pill methotrexate for my rheumatoid arthritis, right? To take 6-7 pills in one day on Saturday, and then just on Saturday, 7 pills a day. Next Saturday, 7 pills. The next Saturday, 7 pills. Well, the medicine is not working the way I want it to work, but it's working the way my doctor wants it to work. I want it to take the pain away. But she's happy with seeing my inflammations go down. I'm like, man, that doesn't do nothing for me. You know, I told the doctor, I said, I don't even need this stuff. It's not doing nothing for me. He said, Ruben, you will kill you if you stop taking it. I go, whatever. So I went on and just used my pills up and used my pills up. Then I have no more. I stayed on for like 2 weeks, didn't get it. 3 weeks went by and my ankles started hurting. I had to order a prescription and I got it. And I told the next time I saw her, I said, I guess you're right. I guess I need these right now. She said, Rude, it's working. The devil, you know, that's deception. I was self-deceived. Self-deception. But that's how the devil wants you to think that you're all right. You can do all right without church. But then you get away from it, things go sour pretty quick. Can anyone say amen? Isn't that crazy that things could get ugly without church? Let's go back to Ephesians 1. So now I want to go to verse 18. Paul prays, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of glorious inheritance in his holy people. That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened is what he's saying here. See, everybody knows God loves you. But it will take a supernatural work, a godly work, to open the eyes of your heart. Too many Christians have no eyes, and too many Christians' eyes have no heart. Some Christians have a good heart, but don't grow in the knowledge and understanding of God. Then some Christians see what needs to be done or what they should be doing, but don't have the heart to do it. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, people will say, with a good heart, but don't truly believe God raised Jesus from the dead. So they don't get in their word and gain knowledge and understanding of the Heavenly Father. Is that true? Oh yeah, Jesus is Lord. You know, I often use my friend an example when I told him, hey, do you believe in Jesus? Come on, Sauce. You know I do. I can't tell that you believe in Jesus. You know, he was like, dude, hit him like a rock, you know, because people should be able to tell that we believe in Jesus. What? Yeah. People should be able to tell that we believe in Jesus. Especially the people that knew us before somebody. They should be able to see a difference in us, man. You know, they should be able to, I mean, and you'll know because they'll start calling you for prayer and stuff, you know. And I get calls from homies, hey, can you pray for my grandpa and stuff? Yeah, I'll pray for you. You know? But people should be able to see a change in us, right? In Jeremiah 9:23, I love this scripture. This is a good scripture here. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness and justice and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight, declares the Lord. What delights the Lord? That we have an understanding to know him. That delights the Lord. What do I say? If you believe in him, you'll live trying to please him. That delights the Lord. How do we delight the Lord? By having an understanding to know him. And what do I say that we should be doing all the time? Reading our words. The understanding to know me. The heart to know me. But he says, having a heart for God that wants to please him, that's what gets you blessed. The heart that desires to please God must love him first. Because you won't want to know him if you don't love him. You won't want to please him if you don't know him. You won't fall in love with him if you don't get enlightened to all that he has done for you. Ooh, my gosh. Paul prayed, I pray that your hearts may be enlightened. Enlightened. Why? Because we have to be able to see what God has done for us. To be thankful for him, to want to please him, to want to live for him. We have to have our eyes open enough to say, man, you know what? Since God's been in my life, things have gotten pretty darn good compared to where they used to be, right? Our hearts have to be able to say that. Love must be sincere. Our walk with God is a heart matter. That's why Paul prayed that you be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Things may not be perfect, but I know we will be all right with God as we trust in him. I pray that you be enlightened in order that you may know the trust to which he has called you. Because hope is like trust, right? We are called to trust him, that you be enlightened. In order that you may know the trust to which he has called you. I like that. I wrote that. That you be enlightened in order that that you may know the hope to which he called you is what the Bible says. But really, that you may know the trust, man. Because God wants you to trust him. I want your hearts to be enlightened so you know the trust to which he has called you. He's called you to trust in him. We are called to trust him, church. God cannot use you, direct you, or bless you until you trust him. Paul prayed that you know the hope that he called you and the riches of the glorious inheritance for those who truly believe. Riches of love, joy, peace, freedom, and wisdom. And that we know the greatness of his power toward us who believe. We should know we serve a God of living power. Amen? Power that raised Christ from the dead and has the power to raise our lives from the dead. Right? God has resurrection power and he wants it to be real in our life also. Amen? My gosh. The knowledge how to be right with him. You know, not our own way, but the way God wants us to be right with him. And how is that? By trusting in him. Amen?